Welcome to this week's edition of Legal Line. This is Bob Pittman, and you're listening to the Legal Line Network. We try each week to demystify the law, translate the legalese, and hopefully point you in the right direction with regard to your legal problems. You can catch us live each and every Wednesday at 3 o'clock Pacific time. And, of course, we're always available then as a Bobcast. Now, we, as you know, take questions each week, and I talk about different areas of life in general. The law, of course, is a big part of our lives. Everybody. You can't escape it. If you're thinking about escaping it, I don't know where you're going to go. But one of the neat things I get to do from time to time is to interview someone really special. We've been doing the program now for, hard to believe, about 20 years. And I've interviewed quite a few people over the years. It's been my great pleasure to interview a number of really interesting folks over the years. But I have to tell you that when I learned that my next guest was going to be on the line with us, I was very excited. I want to say welcome to Jim Stovall. Jim, thank you for taking time. Oops. Uh-oh. Hopefully Jeff has got that fixed there. One thing about radio, live radio, we always have some interesting things going on, and at the moment I can't hear Jim, so I don't know if he's actually talking. We're going to let Jeff kind of figure this out here, and he'll get it. So we are one neat thing about radio is you get to listen right along with us as to what it is that's happening. So we'll let Jeff correct that problem. Again, it's so much fun to get to talk to people. One of my neat jobs is I get to talk to really interesting folks. Now, it might be a person calling in. I love you calling in, of course, and we get to talk to you each week about your actual legal problems. And then I get to talk to some interesting folks out there from time to time. So now Jeff's going to work on that and try to correct the problem. So we'll just talk for a minute, and we'll get Jeff back up. The nice thing about being on our particular radio station is we get the luxury of working through issues like that, and it's not going to be a problem. So let me just mention real quick while we get Jim Stovall back up. And, in fact, Jim, are you there? Hey, this is great. I was just saying, it's just, I think it must have been me. I'm so excited to have you on the program.
Oh, it is great to be with you.
You know, I have been to several of your talks over the years, and it was just a tremendous pleasure to get to have you screen the ultimate gift for our group back in Kansas City before the movie hit the streets. And I just have appreciated you from afar and, I guess, closer for the years. I just think it's so neat that you're willing to talk to our listeners today about what's going on new. And we're going to talk about a brand-new book you've got going, A Christmas Snow, in just a minute. But I know it's hard for you to believe that there might be a few people out there who don't know you. I know you just can't imagine that, right?
Oh, I'm pretty easy to miss.
That's not true. But in case there might be a listener or two out there who hasn't run across Jim Stovall, I wonder, would you be willing to give us just a quick little snapshot of the history of Jim?
I will give you the brief history of Jim.
All right.
I thought I was headed for the National Football League, and that was my main kind of ambition in life, and then I was diagnosed with a condition that caused me to lose my sight. And so throughout my 20s, my eyesight got worse and worse, and finally at age 29, I went totally blind and developed a company then called the Narrative Television Network, and we make movies and television, educational programming accessible for about 13 million blind and visually impaired people around the world. And through that process, I became a public speaker and then was encouraged to write a book. And to date, I think I've written 15 books, and several of them have been made into movies, and a couple more are in the process of being made into movies. So that's kind of, if you've ever heard of me, it's probably through one of the books or the movies.
Yeah, or perhaps been to, to hear you speak, because you do get out and about around the country, have been for some time. Which is always fun.
Yeah, I enjoy that process. And if you could tell our technical friend on the board, I'm getting some feedback here.
Yeah, let's hope that Jeff, we'll let Jeff kind of work a little bit there on the feedback. Hopefully that will not be a continuing problem. Otherwise, worst case, we'll hang up and call back. So hold on there. We'll let Jeff check that. Hopefully that's gotten better. I don't know. Have you, you're a little bit better on that?
So.
No, okay. Darn. All right, let's let Jeff work on that for a moment. Let me mention to everybody that we're going to talk briefly in about the new book, A Christmas Snow, but and we've got that up at our website. And you don't have the podcast on, do you, there at your location? He's wondering if maybe it's on your computer.
No.
Okay. All right. He does not. So let's hope that worst case we'll hang up and call back. Boy, that's not good. All right. But the book A Christmas Snow is listed up at our website. Everybody should be sure to drop by the recommended reading list. We got it up there along with a book called The Ultimate Gift. And I guess also before we get to A Christmas Snow, if you don't mind, I've just got to ask you. You know, The Ultimate Gift has to be. I mean, it was quite a gift to you, I would imagine. Almost a, was it a surprise at all at how successful The Ultimate Gift has become and continues
to
be?
I had written, I would say, 5 or 6 books before The Ultimate Gift, and I'd had a great deal of success with them, and they were all nonfiction books, success things and how to and those sorts of things. And my publishers kept wanting more and more books, and I'd kind of run out of everything I knew and a few things I only suspected. So I decided one day I'm going to write a novel and just make up a story. And that's kind of the genesis of it. I wrote The Ultimate Gift in 5 days. I dictate all my books and screenplays and columns to a very talented lady in my office there. And just between my meetings and phone calls at my narrative television network, I dictated that in a week and over the 5 working days, and never been an edit, never a rewrite, and the way I dictated it is the way 5 million people around the world now have read that book, and it has truly been a blessing and a gift to me. And then the sequel book, The Ultimate Life, has done similarly well, and that has been exciting for me, and we're getting ready to make that into a movie later this year. It'll be out in 2011, called The Ultimate Life. And then I just finished the 3rd book in that series called The Ultimate Journey, and it'll be out next spring.
Wow. I think we're better, by the way. I think the echo has left us.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Hey, not bad. That's Engineer Jeff doing a great job.
Bad enough your listeners have to hear me. I shouldn't have to hear me again.
I know. Oh, it's terrible. I bet you've learned, you know, just a quick aside, I'll bet as you look back on all the times you've been out speaking and stuff, I have a feeling you could write a book about little things that have happened along the speaking road and the...
Well, you know, it's funny because I've done a little cameo in all the movies made from my books, and I did a television show for many, many years, and one thing I've noticed, when guys like you or me make a mistake, they'll just say, Jim screwed up, let's do it again. But when the technical guys make a mistake, they'll just say, now, Jim, we're having a technical problem. We're working through here. So
that's true.
Just depends which side of the camera you're on.
I think you're right. That's very true. Boy, that is, well, you know, I have to say, I did not know about the sequels to Ultimate Gift going into production like that. I'm going to be, I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me. I've shared the book with a lot of folks, and it affects absolutely everybody. And it's in different ways, admittedly, and different parts of the book will affect people differently. But I was meeting with someone several weeks ago, and the fellow came up to me when we got together, and he grabbed my arm, and he had a tear in his eye, and he thanked me for sharing that the ultimate gift with him. And I just I transfer that over to you, Jim, because it's you. And I just it's amazing. And so many of your books have been you know, so helpful to so many people. And we're going to tease people into A Christmas Snow in a moment, because I've got to work on you here with just a couple questions here. One of them, I was talking to a listener recently. And the listener told me that he reads your book, Today's the Day, every day. And I don't know if you you probably get a lot of comments like that, I suspect.
Yeah, that was a fun book. About 10 years ago this year, an editor of a business journal had read one of my books, I think my first book, called You Don't Have to Be Blind to See, and he said, "Do you think you could write a column?" And I said, "What does that take?" And he said, "Well, you just send me 500 words of whatever you're thinking about." So about 10 minutes later, I faxed him over a column, and he called me and said, "How long have you had this column?" I said, "About 10 minutes. He said, "Can you do that again?" And I said, "Maybe, I don't know." He said, "Well, do that every Thursday." Well, that was 600 columns ago or something like that.
Wow.
And in the beginning, it was just a little deal, and then more and more newspapers and magazines started picking it up, and it goes all around the world now every Thursday, called Winner's Wisdom. Well, my publisher wanted to release a series of those, and I thought, there's no way that's going to work. And there's a reason publishers publish books and writers just write them and should shut up, because it's been just a great project. And
yeah,
it's just a compilation of a number of my syndicated columns on different topics and subjects. And it's been a lot of fun. And we're looking at doing another one of those probably in 2012.
Oh, we'll that's
probably
great.
Have another one of those.
I will be looking forward to that, too. Well, he asked me, he said, "Would you ask Jim?" He says, He said flat out he really looks up to you, and he says he wants to know who you look up to and who would be a hero to you.
Well, and if you could ask Jeff to turn you up just a little.
Okay.
You know, there are a lot of people I look up to. I lost one of them earlier this year. Coach John Wooden became a dear friend of mine the last few years of his life, and we spent many hours recording conversations that I hope to be releasing starting next month on what would have been his 100th birthday. And Coach Wooden certainly was one of those very special people. His renown was worldwide, and very few people can live up to that kind of build-up. And Coach Wooden was one that he was everything you would hope he would be and much, much more. Recently, I've gotten to spend a lot of time with Steve Forbes, and I'm putting him in a little movie I'm doing later this year called The Lamp, based on another one of my novels. And I've gotten to spend a lot of time with him, and I really, really admire him, and not for the reasons most people know him. He does a lot of things behind the scenes, and just the way he conducts himself and his family and his life. You know, a lot of people like that. And then, you know, there's just a lot of people that that are just as special to me, but you and your listeners probably wouldn't know their names. They're just
sure.
Great people that do their job the best they can every day.
Well, which is an awful lot about life, too, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Every day getting up and having at it again. And I think people, you know, a lot of times people feel limited by, maybe circumstances, education, you know, maybe even physical limitations or boundaries. And I think that we all have to just kind of wake up the next day and head back out and have at it, I suppose.
We're all a product of what you do. And that's why, you know, they titled that one book, Today's the Day, because that's how I end every one of my columns. Because it doesn't matter what I write about or what you read or what you decide to do or what our grand and wonderful goals are. It all comes down to what do we do today? Because
sure.
Today is all we have. And, all of us every day in every way and everything we do can find something to get us closer to where we know we ought to be.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Makes a lot of sense. Let me ask you now, the ultimate gift, when that became a movie, that was your first movie, am I correct?
That was.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed that process.
Yeah. Now, you picked James Garner, and I'm just curious if you'd tell people how you ended up with James Garner, which, of course, we all love James Garner.
Well, I have to be honest, he wasn't my first choice.
Ah.
When I first started narrative television, I got to interview a lot of classic movie stars, because that's a lot of what we programmed at the time. And I'd interviewed Katharine Hepburn and Jimmy Stewart and Frank Sinatra back in the early to mid-90s. And I had gotten to meet and interview Paul Newman at the time. And Mr. Newman was kind of my first choice, but his health at the time wouldn't permit him to do it. And so our casting people said, what do you think of James Garner? And I was embarrassed. I hadn't thought of him because we are fellow Oklahomans. We both born and raised here in Oklahoma and where I'm talking to you from today. And Mr. Garner and I had both been inducted into the Hall of Fame when we had the centennial of Oklahoma in 2007. And I had just always been a huge fan of his. And so we got a hold of him, and he, you know, said that after a 50-year career, this was going to be his last film. And it really kind of said what he wanted to say as he kind of left the spotlight there.
What do you think the message, if you were to distill it down to a sentence or two, what do you think the message is of The Ultimate Gift for people to take away?
You know, people find different messages for themselves in it, and I would never limit it to my opinion, but I think that the message of The Ultimate Gift is this life we've been given is a gift, and we have to live it like that or it becomes very meaningless, and our purpose in life is to find our gift, and the meaning comes when we give our gift away to other people, and I think that's what The Ultimate Gift's about.
And I just got to ask you, when you go back to when you were losing your eyesight, I mean, you had to feel not much like a gift was being given to you at the time.
No, I thought it was about it. Like I said, my whole ambition in those years was I wanted to be in the National Football League.
And right.
When they told me I was going to lose my sight, well, this may surprise you and your listeners. At that time and to this very day, there's never been a blind guy play in the NFL.
No.
So I realized, wow, I'm going to have to go do something else. And
yeah.
I didn't really have a plan B.
Yeah, I think for most of us, we complain about little things, and we blow them way out of proportion. I mean, I'm good at that myself. So.
Well, and so am I. And, you know, and I always tell my audiences at the arena events or that I get to visit with in conversations like this, my problems are no greater or lesser than yours or anybody listening to us right now. I mean, we're all only as big as the smallest thing it takes to divert us from where we ought to be. You know, whether it's loss of a job, which a lot of people are facing right now, or financial reversal, or marital problems, or legal problems, or whatever the case may be.
Right, right. Wow. All right, well, I've got to ask you now. You've got, when I found out the new book was coming out, of course, it's coupled with the release of the movie, and it's called A Christmas Snow. Give us a little introduction to that.
Well, A Christmas Snow is a story about three strangers who get trapped in a house together during a snowstorm. A young girl and a middle-aged woman and an old man. And it's about the connection and what they learn being trapped inside this house together during this snowstorm for several days. And it's a traditional Christmas story. But you learn a lot about forgiveness and letting things go in your life that you've been carrying around. It was Gandhi who told us that you will not be punished for your unforgiveness, you're punished by it. And I meet so many people that are living pretty miserable existences, and it's simply because somebody did something wrong to them 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, and they've been carrying around all this garbage all these years.
Boy.
A Christmas Snow is about going back to those times and places and people in your life and, you know, forgive, forget, let it go, move on, and you know, where you can go in your life from there.
That is so hard to do, though. I mean, we all have been guilty of that, I think.
It is, but when you consider the alternative,
yeah.
And, you know, the irony is this person that we perceive did us wrong at some point in the past, it hasn't bothered them since they did it.
Very true.
The only one suffering is us.
God, you know, it's so true, and yet it's so hard to accept that, I think. I'm guessing the book obviously helps us to try to address it maybe for ourselves. And
sure, and it deals with, you know, it's a modern-day story, parable tied to, you know, the traditional Christmas story with a little bit of mystery and... you know, and things at the end, and
yeah.
I think people will really enjoy it.
It sounds like it's going to be one you'll want to watch every Christmas.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, would you buy the book and read that first, or would you watch the movie first? What's your recommendation there?
I hope people will do both. Uh-huh. You know, the interesting thing is, a guy brought me this story, Tracy Trost, who is my partner in the movie, uh-huh. and he brought me the story, and then as they were shooting the movie, I wrote the novel, which
wow.
is a totally new experience for me.
Oh, that's great. I love it.
So, unlike most movies, the book is just like the movie, and the movie is just like the book. And I hope people will sit down and watch it with their family. It's one of those stories the whole family can watch, but the parents aren't going to get bored, and the kids are going to stay up to speed and enjoy it. And I think everybody's going to enjoy it.
Which I like a lot. Hey, we're talking to Jim Stovall. This is Bob Pittman. You're listening to Legal Line on the Legal Line Network. Just if you're joining us now, we've been talking about Jim and Jim's life and the new book, A Christmas Snow, which you'll be able to find, of course, at all the normal outlets, but we have listed it up on our website, bobpittman.com, so you'll be able to track it right there. It's it's not out until, first week or so of October, I guess.
Yeah, I just got a report. Some of the bigger bookstores have them in now.
Uh-oh, they're sneaking them out.
They do. And I told them, it's a Christmas deal. Would you guys at least wait till October? Let the leaves change or something. You know,
as long as they don't have decorations up yet.
I'm
going to be really concerned. I mean, I know we got to at least wait for Halloween to get out of the way before we get the decorations. But
absolutely.
Oh, shoot. As I say, your books have been a tremendous resource to me personally and to a lot of people that I hang out with. We love them. And, you've become kind of a cult hero in the legal world among estate planning attorneys. I think
It's so funny. I remember when I wrote The Ultimate Gift and this book came out, and then I was working on another book, and the girl who answers our phones at the office came into my office, and she said, there's a lawyer on the phone. Says he just bought 1,000 copies of your book and wants to know if you'll have lunch. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, if there's any author you ever wanted to meet in your life, that's a pretty good way to get a meeting.
So I had
lunch with this guy, and he said, I give this out to everybody, in your book out to everyone in my practice. As God is my witness, I didn't know which of my books he was talking about.
Oh, that's great.
I had no idea. And he said, well, I give The Ultimate Gift out to all my estate planning clients.
Wow.
And I said, if you don't mind my asking, what is it about that book? You know, because I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I made it a billionaire old guy at the end of his life simply because that's a poignant time when we think about things. And I put the money in the story simply because of the big lie we believe in our society that if we had enough money, all our problems would be solved.
Yep.
So I thought, well, let's give these people a lot of money so we can get rid of that rumor. And that's kind of where it came from. And a lot of the marketing people and the media people have asked, how did you market to the legal community? I didn't. You guys found me. I'm ever more grateful for it.
Yeah, but I mean, I have to believe, I'm not trying to get into sales details, but I have to believe it continues to be a crazy, wild bestseller.
It does, and I get updates more on the movies than the books now, but we're out 3 years now on DVD, and last week we were the number one family drama at Walmart and Amazon. So we continue to it just keeps doing its thing.
Well, I would say to listeners, if you have not seen the movie The Ultimate Gift, I know we're here to talk about A Christmas Snow too, but if you have not seen The Ultimate Gift, you've got to get that too. I mean, that is one that that you will indeed watch every so often, and it lifts you up and gets you ready for the next day. That's for darn sure. It's just a tremendous book. I mean, as I say, you've become, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, but you really have become a national treasure. I mean, it's
you're very, very kind.
Well, you hear that.
The movie has been exciting, and we're looking forward. I just signed off on the script, so hopefully before the end of the year, we'll get the whole cast is committed to coming back, and we're going to make the next movie, The Ultimate Life. And
like I said,
I just finished the third book in that series, The Ultimate Journey.
That's neat.
Eventually there'll be a fourth, and then I'm going to have to put it to bed. I'm not I'm not going to be one of these guys writing Rocky 27.
I was going to ask you.
There's a point at which you say, let's don't beat it to death and let's go find something new to write about.
Now, you're not going to retire, though, are you?
Oh, no. I have a new series of books. I just decided, I just started a detective series that's out.
That's tremendous.
About a blind detective that has been very well received. And it's called Sound of Honor, and the second book is coming out in that series. And I went back and I wrote a, a business book. My friend Steve Forbes and I were talking, and he said, you know, if you're ever going to go back and write business books again, you better do it, or, you know, there's going to be a whole lot of people that only think you're a novelist or
sure.
a movie guy.
Sure.
So I wrote a book called Ultimate Productivity, and that's how I got involved with Coach Wooden. And I have a book out right now called The Financial Crossroads, and my friend Tim Maurer, who contributes to CNBC and the Wall Street Journal and various things, he and I did kind of a financial planning book for just the pedestrian guy on the street, you know, what you need to know and who you got to watch out for and where the pitfalls are. And one of the things we tried to do that most people don't do in the industry is every chapter, whether I'm talking about bankers, lawyers, accountants, brokers, or financial planners, there's a bias alert. And we, you know, I don't think it's good, bad, or ugly, but
sure.
You need to know how everybody gets paid in an arrangement and what the financial arrangements are.
It really
if
is
you
true.
Don't know, you shouldn't do the deal. So that's...
Boy, that's... You know, that right there from our entire interview, that's terrific advice. I realize you're not trying to give legal advice, but I'll endorse it as a lawyer.
Well, and you know, I have several lawyers, and I want them to make money.
Yeah.
And I have bankers, and I mean, I hope everybody I'm associated with is prosperous and does well.
Sure.
But it's important to know how they get paid.
That's right.
And, you know, not to be disparaging of anybody in your in your field of endeavor, but there are a lot of lawyers out, and they're paid, you know, they're getting paid by the hour for their advice, and they're advising people to purchase certain products.
Yep.
And I think those people have a right to know that this person is going to be compensated quite handsomely if you buy this product.
Yeah,
and there's nothing good, bad, or ugly about that. I just think we all need to know that.
No, I think disclosure, clearly, is always important, I think.
Yeah.
And it's not done enough. I mean, you could get, of course, you see some disclosure things like a prospectus, and of course nobody reads it. So it's got to be meaningful disclosure. But I think when you have meaningful disclosure, everybody is on the same page, so to speak, and able to make good quality decisions, which makes a lot of sense. Boy, well, now I've got to ask you, when I think of you now, I have to say I also think occasionally about Alfred Hitchcock, and you know
why.
Oh,
yeah, doing all those little those cameos. That has been fun. I played the limo driver in The Ultimate Guest.
I know.
And then something about having the blind guy drive the limo just made sense.
It's great. You could probably make money doing that, offering to do that for people.
And then in A Christmas Snow, there's a scene at the airport, and I'm the limo driver again.
Everybody look for him.
and we nearly had an incident there because, we really shot it at an international airport, and the police came at one point and said, we know you have a permit to shoot here, but you got to move this car. And I said, well, sir, I can't move this car. And he, you know, he pushed his weight around a little and said, no, I'm telling you to get in and move this car right now. And I said, well, sir, I can't. And if you'd allow me to explain. And he said, there's no explanation I will accept for why you don't move this car in the next 10 seconds.
Wow.
And I said, would the fact that I'm blind help? And he stopped and he said, okay, that will help. But he said, you better be blind or you're going to jail.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, okay, well, then I'm in good shape. But I just got in the script for The Ultimate Life. I wrote back to the director. I said, I got a lot more. I'm in three or four scenes with lines. And, you know, and I said, let's remember, I'm not only am I not a limo driver, I'm not an actor here, guys.
Hey, we're changing you.
Yeah, Hitchcock was smart enough to, he had a part in all his films, but I was just reviewing those the other day. It's ironic you would bring that up. He did a movie called Lifeboat.
Yes.
Great, great movie. And there were these eight people are trapped in a lifeboat. That's the whole story.
Right.
And then I was trying to think, how did he get his cameo in there? And about halfway through the movie, there's a British actor, Leslie Howard.
Right.
And he's up in the front of this lifeboat, and he leans over the side, and he sees this bottle floating by, and he picks it up, and it's an old liquor bottle, and on the front of the label is a picture of Alfred Hitchcock.
No, I've never noticed that.
Yeah, that's Hitchcock. That's how he got in that one.
Oh, that's terrific. So we're going to be watching for you and, of course, all the movies that come out. And I've got to go back 1 second because you mentioned the detective series. I have to plead ignorance. I didn't know that that was out. You've got
to... Yeah, I wrote a character named Jacob Dyer,
and
he is he's a blind guy. He was blinded in Vietnam, and he runs a thing called Dire Straits Lost and Found.
Wow.
And he helps... people find things they can't find, and he has this beautiful assistant and a British limo driver, and the three of them kind of team up and do all this stuff. And my friend who we lost earlier this year, Robert B. Parker, who wrote all the Spencer for Hire novels and the TV shows and movies, he was kind enough to encourage me, and it was the only book he ever endorsed other than his own, and he was very gracious to do that. And the book's doing very, very well. It's called Sound of Honor. And I finished the second book that I hope will be out next year called Sound of Vengeance, and I'm negotiating right now on a movie deal for that.
Is there any chance that's going to become a TV series? I can almost picture like a Monk kind of a, kind of a series.
I hope so. You know, the thing that concerns me, I mean, with an hour-long TV show with all the stuff they put in it and the commercials, you got about 42 minutes.
Right.
A lot of these stories get more involved than that, and so I don't know. They do a series of movies, in fact, on Robert B. Parker's books now called Jesse Stone, and they make about two movies a year, and I think Lifetime brings them out, and might be interested in that. I don't know.
Maybe rather than a series, the idea of a couple of, like the old, remember the old Columbo shows and stuff?
Oh, yeah, loved those.
Yeah, I'm an old Columbo fan. On Narrative Television Network, then, are you able to get things like Columbo on Narrative Television Network?
We do. I mean, most of the broadcast we do now for Narrative Television Network, it's broadcast with the original program. So, like, we do a lot of work for Turner, TNT. We just finished our 500th episode of Law & Order.
Really?
And they air it five nights a week. And anywhere in North America, you can sit there with your TV, and there's a button on your TV or your remote you've probably never used called Second Audio Program or Stereo or SAP Channel, whatever they call it.
Right.
And you push that button, and in between the dialogue of the characters, you'll hear this voice that says, he slowly walks across the room and gazes out the window, and she turns, and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And it turns it into an accessible thing for 13 million blind people that live in America.
You know, most people, Jim, would if you accomplished that, most people would have stopped and said that's enough of an accomplishment for a lifetime, which it is, but it's like one little piece of the Jim Stovall, I guess I'll use the word puzzle. You know, I mean, the whole, like, I'm thinking of this huge jigsaw puzzle, and we're only about, what, a quarter of the way through the jigsaw puzzle?
I hope so. But I did a presentation for the Small Business Administration people the other day, and they were asking about my different businesses, and I said, I have five. I'm in the movie business, the TV business, the book business, the speech business, and the column business. But every time I visualize it like a four-sided pyramid with a point on the top, and those are the five things, and everything I do supports the others. So it's not like it takes away. One and one makes ten if you do it this way. And because, you know, every one of my first-run movies we're talking about, the narrative soundtrack is on the first-run movie from 20th Century Fox or whatever, and it cross-promotes to that. And then, you know, in my books, I talk about my movies and the columns and narrative TV. And, you know, and so everything supports everything. It's, you know, I'm in the message business.
Yeah.
And as long as I remember I'm in the message business, does this help people get a vision for their life or help blind people see? That's what I do. And if you get real clear on what you do, everything else is easy to get rid of.
That makes a lot of sense. Good advice. Let me ask you, if you're try to picture a student graduating from high school, now they're about to start their college career, and they stop by Jim's house, your house, and they say, Jim, can you give me a one piece of advice that will help me in my college career and beyond? What might you say to that person?
Pursue your passion. passion, not practicality. Find the thing that you absolutely love to do, that you would do whether they paid you or not. Never worry about the money. There's people in every field of endeavor that are compensated extremely well if they're at the top of their field. It doesn't matter what they do. So just pursue your passion, because if you don't, you're going to be competing against people who are pursuing their passion, and they will outwork you every time.
Well, very good advice. Hey, we've been talking to Jim Stovall, entrepreneur, author, many talents, new book, many books out, and we'll try to get the other ones up on the website, by the way. I learned about a couple new ones today. I can't believe it. But the book we are really talking about today is A Christmas Snow, coming out. It's out in some of the bookstores right now, even though it's not really supposed to be out until October. Of course, people will be listening to this podcast for some months to come, Jim, and they'll be able to get the book at their local bookstore. And, of course, can go to bobpittman.com, and we've linked it there so people can pick up the book or the DVD, I want to say. Wow. What a great book. I'm looking forward to the movie, too. And hopefully, Jim, you'll come back sometime in the future and join us again to give us a little bit more wisdom. I really want to thank you so much for taking time. I know you've got one ridiculously busy schedule, and it was awfully kind of you to spend a little time with us out here on the West Coast.
Well, you are very kind, and I do literally hundreds of these interviews.
Well, it's awfully nice.
Most of them is about as fun as getting a root canal, because too many people that are sitting in your chair don't do their homework and they don't really care. And it is always fun to be on with you. And anytime you need somebody to fill in, you know my number. Pick up the phone. I'd love to work with you anytime.
Thank you. I sure appreciate that, Jim. It means a lot to me. All right, we're going to let you go, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the day. And we'll be looking forward to tomorrow. Most of us will be reading one of your Today's the Day.
you're very kind, and to you and all your listeners, be well and stay in touch.
Thanks so much, Jim. Appreciate it very much.
Bye now.
Bye. All right, we've been talking to Jim Stovall. And you want to look at the website to find his books. We're going to put a couple more up, but we do have A Christmas Snow up there, book and DVD. It's in a pre-order stage at the moment. But you may be surprised when we order. It may just come right back, which is great. So we are going to close out. But this week's edition of Legal Line. But I want to mention next week on Legal Line, and of course becomes a Bobcast the day after our broadcast. But next week we're going to learn a little bit about the meaning of the Pledge of Allegiance. And I don't want to say too much, but I think you'll be really surprised by and add a little dimension to your knowledge about the Pledge of Allegiance and its place in our own lives, and of course in the legal world, having to do with maybe where we learned it, when we learned it, and getting some help from some other folks as well. So be sure to stay tuned each and every week. Tune in for the broadcast, which occurs at 3 o'clock Pacific time on every Wednesday, and then of course the podcast, we now call them Bobcasts, will be available certainly by the next day. Follow the blog. Make your comments. The blog is available at bobpittman.com. We do have a Facebook page. Just look for Legal Line with Bob Pittman on Facebook and sign on. Tell your friends and neighbors and other folks. And by the way, Neighbor Law, end of the month, September, last Wednesday in September, we'll be talking to the author of Neighbor Law. What fun. All right. This is Bob Pittman for the Legal Line Network. See you next week.